Welcome, everybody, to another brand new episode of Game Time here on the Outlaw Nation channel. I am one of your hosts here, the Outlaw, John Rocha. Excited to talk about all the Week 7 NFL news, little World Series action, and little NBA talk as well. You know I can't do it alone. These two gentlemen have been riding by my side for quite some time now on this show, taking a chance to have some fun with me, and we have had a fun time doing it and a fun time with you all. And let's introduce them now. Right there, coming to you live with some new internet, some new ethernet, some new modem, Mr. Jay Washington. How are you?
You can see I look crispier in this red. That's how you know the internet is better now. The colors are coming through brighter and the clarity of it. And you notice that, right? So, like, this is like my big test on something. We'll see what actually happens and how things play out, because I'm fingers crossed. We did, you know, I'm also coming off of Great Blurs After Dark we did last night on Twitch. Nice. With me and that gentleman right there. You know what I'm saying? Right there.
Ooh, yeah. Nasty. Winston A. Marshall. The A stands for quality. Winston,
I like it.
How are you, man? How are things? I know we our teams battled this weekend, but I know you got bigger things on your mind. How you feel?
I mean, if you want for half a second, put on the little names that you take off because we have the overlay. If you want to show mine.
Okay, hold on. Let me see here.
Yeah.
The retired cowboy.
Yeah, the retired cowboy fan. Yeah, because here's the thing. Here's the truth, man. And then people already know this. At this point, the minute Dak went down, because we already had those injuries, it's been made pretty apparent that the Cowboys are tanking at this point. They're like, fuck it. We can't do anything. Did you see that game?
No. I saw the game.
I don't know if they were tanking necessarily.
They weren't until this week. It became blatantly aware this week that they're out.
That bad.
It's possible, but you're telling me Ezekiel Elliott is that? I know the line isn't great, but you're telling me he's that bad? We paid him a bajillion fucking dollars.
He hadn't been consistent, dude. This is 2 years in a row. You know, you get a couple of games with the feed me cat, and then all of a sudden it's like. Well,
it worked. It worked in the sense that I think that you got a very clear picture of what this is.
Yeah.
That this was a duo. That it was Ezekiel Elliott was as good as he was because he had someone like Romo or Dak, mainly Dak, to get the pressure off of him so that if they don't load eight in the box, then they're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? And then if anything, it showed you that the only reason this team was competitive was because Dak Prescott was out there balling his ass off.
1,000%. And we're definitely going to get into that later on in the show. But yes, I agree with you. It becomes even more obvious how much this Cowboys team needs Dak Prescott, how worse they could have lost some of the games they've lost earlier this year without Dak Prescott. Because this Andy Dalton is not the answer in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you're asking after a concussion.
Here's the madness of it all. The Cowboys still aren't out of it. At 2-5, 2-5, 2-4, 1-6. That's the records of every team in the NFC East. The Cowboys are not out of it.
But haven't we said that over here a couple weeks
before? No. And it's going to be like that for a while unless someone starts winning games and, like, winning them consistently. It's
whoever wins that top number four spot because of the NFC East.
Bro, there should be a rule. There should be a rule. If all these teams are this trash, none of them are allowed to go to the playoffs. Fuck it. Whoever they would play gets an automatic win. That's what it should be, because this is disgraceful.
Yeah. It is bad to watch. Another thing that is very interesting for y'all to think about, too, is Colin Kaepernick is sitting out there, Winston. If they're really tanking – great, but I understand that, because certainly there was rumors the Redskins were tanking. Oh, sorry, the Washington football team was tanking to try to get Trevor Lawrence. But that being said, in this situation, Jerry Jones, of all people, if he wanted to do some really incredible PR work here, he could step out of the shadows here, his red state shadows, and go after Colin Kaepernick.
I got it.
Let's be 100% real with this shit right now. Jerry Jones ain't never in a million years ever signed no Colin Kaepernick, not even to drive Miss Daisy Miss Jones around the stadium. Like, it's not happening. Well, I'm gonna tell you why. Unless you put a gun to Jerry Jones' head and he realizes the only way he's gonna try and do anything is that he has to sign Colin Kaepernick to like appease black people. Jerry Jones has been the first one to say, nah, you're gonna stand when the anthem plays on my team. That's not like he made that very clear. He's very clearly a Trump supporter. He's also made that very clear. Yes, so no, he is not going to sign Colin Kaepernick because he doesn't feel like he needs to earn any goodwill with anybody. He doesn't feel like there's anything that he needs to prove. Like, the only teams that would potentially sign a Colin Kaepernick would be a team that has some sort of like liberal clout somewhere. Maybe the Packers because it's publicly owned. Maybe, but that's in Wisconsin. So probably not. The Seahawks was the closest example, but they didn't do it. They went and got Geno Smith instead. Mm-hmm. So the odds are, unless a team is in pure dire straits, and they also felt like they could take the burden of what is going to come, because you're going to get the slings and arrows of all these MAGA people being like, I can't believe you signed that traitor, la, 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 Blue Lives Matter, get the fuck out. Like, unless you're going to take those slings and arrows, which the Cowboys will not, then he will never be a Cowboy. And it makes me sad to say, because he's still got the juice, and I fucks with him, but whatever.
I would like to say, Jerry Jones, for all the reasons that my partner eloquently explained, will not sign him. He will also call Sean Payton and get Klepto Crab Leg King Jameis Winston before he ever gets Colin Kaepernick.
I wonder if he could
get Jameis Winston before ever even look. I'm pretty fucking sure.
Yeah.
And this may sound like a stretch, but I'm pretty sure. Okay. Colin Kaepernick's name is not allowed to be even spoken in the Dallas Cowboys office.
That's probably the rumors about the dissent is that maybe one of the assistant coaches was like, yo, what if we got like Colin Kaepernick? And some of the black players were like, Kaepernick. The white people, oh, hell no. Ain't gonna be no motherfucking Colin Kaepernick in this bitch. As a matter of fact, everybody do laps and sing the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm tired of this shit. Like, I guarantee you.
Talking about coaching staff and people in the front offices. A lot of them players, because of who Jerry Jones is and him being vocal, are able to be the assholes they want to be. Again, Nick Bosa catches all hell, but you know what? At the same time, they're like, it's San Francisco. He know what he around, so it don't matter. But in Dallas, Texas, where they finna let 30,000 fans in, what is it, 75,000 fans?
Yeah.
Because they finna open that bitch open.
Yeah. There are backup quarterbacks that are roaming around, Jay and Winston, that could possibly slide into this situation. Somebody mentioned Jameis Winston, RG3 is over there in Baltimore. There are other backups, maybe Fitzpatrick in Miami. Maybe you kick the tires and see if Miami's willing to let him go and let Tua ride and die for the rest of the year. If I'm Fitzpatrick right now, I am absolutely clamoring to get the hell out of there because it's pretty clear that he wanted to start and he felt he could still play. And he did all right with Miami in the first few games of the season. So I would be kind of like, pushing my agent a little bit or testing it to see if it's possible to get on out of there just to be the quarterback for the Cowboys for one season. As a journeyman, it would be a nice thing to put on your resume.
I'll tell you, I don't want to lose him, but if I had to make a guess, the move would probably be, I doubt the Saints let up Jameis. And I don't necessarily know if Taysom Hill is the answer, but I could see some sort of situation where they maybe relinquish Taysom if we feel like we could use him as an actual quarterback. And they take like Gallup. I do not want to lose Gallup, but based off what's happening right now with Mike Thomas between his injuries, but also apparently dissent where the Saints seem done with him. Yeah. I would not be surprised if some sort of dealing comes up where we get one of their quarterbacks for one of our receivers because they're kind of hurting. Like, they did well yesterday, but they need – if Michael Thomas is really done in New Orleans, they need something to, like, help fully substantiate that receiving core.
Also, I'd like to say real quick, because I just can't help it, that if Ben DiNucci, who's the current quarterback
– Ben DiNucci sighting.
If Ben DiNucci goes – he's the third string. If he goes down – the next replacement in line is a tight end who hasn't played quarterback since like high school.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking over what's available right now free agent wise. There is nothing out there. Unless you're talking Joe Webb, maybe DeShone Kizer, maybe Cody Kessler.
Call John Kitna. Call John Kitna.
Paxton Lynch is out there. And here's the crazy one.
Convince Jay Cutler to come back.
Suck a dick.
Eli Manning. He's sitting out there.
I don't want.
Follow Eli's Twitter. Eli, like, just had a pizza.
Bro, that's not even the funniest thing to come out of a Giants quarterback this week. The funniest thing was Daniel Jones having a wide open field and dripping on his own fucking feet, bro.
That was
like everybody was talking about DK Metcalf having the tackle of the week. Coming out of nowhere, burning everybody and fucking stopping that pick six.
Oh, yeah, that was incredible.
Greatest tackle of the week was the field on Daniel Jones, by far.
Yo, Corey Johnson, who watches us regularly, he sent me a meme, and they put every type of thing that could have tripped up or happened to Daniel Jones.
My favorite.
Blurs tomorrow.
Bro, my favorite is, you remember when Cam Newton had that one fumble where the ball flew backwards in his hands a few years ago, and that was around when Stevenson was blowing on LeBron's ear? Someone put the Stevenson come in and go, and blow on Daniel Jones, and he fell over.
here's a maddening thought, and level two trading. I know he's coming after me for all these suggestions. You keep going, keep on. But here's a maddening thought: Jay Washington and Winston A. Marshall may come together on this with Mitchell Trubisky being traded to the Dallas Cowboys.
No! Don't you fucking dare! I don't want him. You keep him away from my goddamn team. You keep him the fuck away. I don't want that little bitch. You stay the fuck away from my team. You stay the fuck away from my team.
Maserati Mitch, go.
No, I don't want that fucking shit. I don't want to give you nothing for him. I don't want him. Get him the fuck away from me.
He is here in LA tonight to sit on the sideline to just be like, y'all need me. I'm ready. Please, I can go in.
Give me Nick Foles. Give me Foles. You don't even like him anyway. Give me Nick Foles. You keep Mitchell. Listen,
you're right. I don't like Foles. But if you take Nick Foles from the Chicago Bears, we are like Whitney Houston's song. I have nothing.
You have Mitchell.
No, get rid of that bitch too.
Oh yeah, Joe Flacco is out there. Blake Bortles is out there. Mike Glennon is out there.
I would take Bortles. Uh-huh. I'd fuck Glennon. He's too hit or miss. Fuck Trubisky. I'm not trying to do that shit.
Trubisky. Matter of fact, that's your Christmas gift, bitch.
Suck a dick. I don't want your damn Christmas gift. I'm about to re-gift that shit. Re-gift that shit to fucking Washington. What y'all doing?
We're winning games, I guess. All right, hold on.
Against the worst team in football. Are you proud of yourself?
Cowboys can take one of the 22 Bears tight ends and rotate them at quarterback. That's possible. That's possible. Matt Schaub from Atlanta. I didn't even think about Matt Schaub.
Remember, he was that dude in Houston. They were loving. They were all about Matt Schaub in Houston.
It's true. Anyway, we got off track a little bit. We haven't even started our first game, so I guess that's our conversation. We'll get to it at some point here. But there's a bit of news broke before we started the show here. It is official. OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., is out for the season. Tore his ACL. Apparently texted Josina Anderson over there at ESPN to let her know before anyone else knew that he had torn his ACL there for the Browns. Kind of a sad situation. It went out in that first quarter. He is done for the season. Cleveland fought through it with Baker Mayfield, won that game over Cincinnati. But
Cleveland officially. That's it.
Do you think he's done in Cleveland as well?
I think that's it. That's the bye-bye sign. Wow. Like, again, we can't get it together. We were told, again, we'll never forget when he came and all that. It was this, these are potentially your champs. Yeah. No happening. Next season not happening. Now you're out. Hmm. Bye. He gone.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Winston? Gone?
OBJ's gone. I don't think he wanted to be there anyway. The only thing that he got excited about was Jarvis Landry. He got traded there. He didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't like I signed with them. Right. He just was making the best. Like, that's the thing. You're unfortunately a commodity in this league until you're at free agency, and then you can kind of set your own destiny. So I think he's out. I don't think to be honest with you, it depends. When it comes to Baker Mayfield, if they decide to keep his ass, the answer might be, if you choose me or you choose him, determines what I'm going to do, because I'm sure he's kind of playing with like a trash ass quarterback.
I can't imagine the market is that strong for OBJ because of the off field antics and stuff he's pulled on the sidelines as well during games. So for me, I think you got to stop
all the time, because we always say that.
Right.
We always say when it comes to sideline antics and off the field stuff, and you look at those players, and those players still get picked up.
Right. No, they do. Real. I'm just saying the market is not – I don't think the market is as strong as it would be, say if, like, Davante Adams was out there available for somebody to get. The OBJ – has the shine is off OBJ a little bit, but I think a great place for him could be Seattle or the Raiders, a place where he could go and redeem his career. Maybe even the 49ers who are desperate to have receivers. Even the Saints, who are out without Michael Thomas, and they're out without what's-his-face out there as well, Emmanuel Sanders this year. So we'll see.
With the emergence of DK Metcalf becoming essentially the next Julio Jones, Seattle doesn't need him at all. Tampa Bay doesn't need him, because if this Antonio Brown shit actually works out,
in the rush sheet.
Then that's fine. Antonio Brown, but I think that OBJ going to maybe the Raiders isn't bad. The Niners is a great choice, because they desperately need – if he's even a shell of himself, the Niners need it bad.
But what about the quarterback position when you say that? Because that's really the 1-2 punch thing over in San Francisco.
Right. Jimmy G played well.
He did. I mean, that's the thing. Jimmy G has got the sauce to be a franchise quarterback. I just don't think he has the sauce to actually win him a title. That's the difference. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, there's plenty of franchise quarterbacks that just never get to the promised land. He got them to the Super Bowl. I don't think he has the sauce to finish the job, though.
Yeah, honestly. Not right now. I agree with that.
He would need to have an elite defense that handles that for him.
Absolutely. Alex Tornai said, bear down, baby. Number one in the NFC. Who y'all got for tonight's game? I predict a 24-20 Bears win and two TDs for Jimmy G. Hashtag tight end city. All right. Look at Jay celebrating his Bears now.
Hey, right. Number one in the NFC.
Who are the Bears playing?
They're playing the Rams. LA Rams in LA.
The Rams got you. And I don't even think the Rams are good. Oof. Like, I have
makes a difference here, man.
I understand that, but that Rams defense is playing. But that Rams defense, though, is also pretty on point, and that's the thing. Now we're looking at offenses, and who do you trust more? Even though Jared Goff himself is somewhat of a joke, do you trust Jared Goff or some combination of Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles?
Mm. No, I actually trust Mitch Trubisky and Cordarrelle Patterson.
Okay.
I actually, that 1-2 combination has been, you cannot deny that 1-2 combination.
It hasn't been bad, but I'm like looking at Cooper Kupp. I'm looking at Woods has been going off, and their running game. They got rid of Gurley, and they actually got better.
Well, but also, again, we're talking about, when you talk about that running game, you got to talk about the Bears defensive front. Yeah. We're talking about
two. You also have to talk about the Rams defensive front. Aaron Donald still looks like
the best. I'm saying that. I'm never excluding the Rams defensive front. But I'm saying, just as much as we're going to hype up the Rams defense, you got to give the Bears defense their credit. And I'm not just saying this as a Bears fan.
Then this would be my argument then. I think, and this is the one thing that we have to look at. I have more faith in the Rams offensive line than I do in the Bears offensive line. If we're now going tit for tat and they're really kind of equal across the line, you got to look at the matchups. That Rams O-line has actually been doing pretty goddamn well this season. Your line is part of the reason why poor Mitch looks like he should be playing high school ball.
Also, Paul, they don't believe in him. But shout out to Matt Ward in the comments who just said something. Bears are 2-0 against the Rams.
Yeah. So Since when? What? First of all, the Rams and the Bears have played for decades. So what the fuck does 2-0 mean about anything? Like, this season is this season. So this season they're 0-0. What are you talking about?
All right. I think the thing you have to look at is the defense of the Bears. And I know you guys mentioned that, but I think that if they can get into Goff's head, if they start turning Goff into Jeff George with that playing happy feet back there, if they're getting through in the way they've gotten through with other teams, I think Goff is more susceptible to be messed up mentally than Foles. But we've seen Foles stare down some tough defenses. And so that's where I think Foles might have the advantage here to ride out a tough Rams front line led by Aaron Donald. He can handle the hits and still keep coming back. I've seen Goff fold like a paper, like a house of cards when he gets messed with mentally. So if the Bears are getting in there, Khalil and the rest of the crew getting in there, getting some slams on Goff, I think that's going to be an issue for him. But if they give Goff protection and he starts to carve up that secondary, it's going to be a long night for the Bears. That's
okay, Matt Ward explained what he was trying to say. The Bears are 2-0 against Goff. That now makes more sense. When you just say he's 2-0 against the Rams, the Bears and Rams have played as long as they've been in the league. Fair. That's not a good – like if you meant coaching or – but if you mean Goff. All right, if that's the case, then I will say this. I think the highest ceiling, honestly – goes to Goff, but the highest floor goes to Foles. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You know what I'm saying? Meaning that Foles
Goff any day of the week though.
No, but that will because he's a Super Bowl champion, he's a Super Bowl MVP, sure. But
I don't care about his champion, his MVP. Over as much as I don't like him,
yeah.
His accuracy and his gameplay is just better
But that's the thing though. That's not true. What it is that Goff, like Rocha just said, is a house of cards.
Yeah.
So if Goff is on, his ceiling is way higher than Foles' is.
Right.
But if Goff gets rattled, Foles blows him out of the water.
Yeah. Foles will handle
it the last couple of weeks because when Nick Foles has been on, once he rolls, he rolls.
He's saying that because Goff has more natural ability than Foles. Yes. There's a better receiving core and a good running back. I think he's got the more potential if the offensive line can give him time. But if he doesn't give him time, then Goff is going to fall apart. I think Foles is a warrior. He'll fight through times when the line's falling apart or whatever and find a way to win.
It would be the easiest way that I could describe it is it's Rocky IV, bro. It's Rocky does not have nearly as much power or speed as Drogo's ass. Drago. But if he Drago, whatever. That's what I meant. You know what the fuck I meant? Stop it.
I don't try to get a grip. Stop it.
You see the movie one time, Jay, because we had that audition. But what I'm saying is though. Even though that there is more straight up just power and strength and all of that in Drago. I've said it like five times. Drago. There's more power and strength than Drago. Rocky is fucking Rocky. In this case, Nick Foles is Rocky. I think that honestly, Goff has the better power and speed and accuracy and all that shit. But the difference is, it's fucking Rocky, and he can handle that shit. He'll be like, "I'm gonna take a couple. Hey, Ty, bitch, bah, 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 bah." And that's it. Is that I think that Foles has the toughness, the veteran experience to outplay Goff. That's the difference. I give you the edge in that regard.
All right, we're jumping all over the show now. Buddha Baker MVP right now says Brandon Berry. I respect that. Buddha Baker, I think, had like 12 tackles yesterday, 10 of them solo. Got to give him love. Alex Tornai again, Rams can only beat NFC East teams. All right, maybe. But, they got some.
That's a good point. I pointed that out a million times. They're four wins.
Yeah.
Their four wins are against the worst division in football.
You could argue the Bears and the Rams' victories are equal, and so
that's also very true.
I mean, you could
they really don't like that, but it's the fucking truth.
Both of them beat nobody. So
escaped the fucking Buccaneers by a donk. Yeah, he turned the shit off because he fucking knows.
Did he drop out?
You can't try that now. You said your internet worked now, bitch. That don't work no more.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Uh-huh. We can see your mouth move. Yo, close your mouth before somebody put a dick in it.
See, this Jay Megatron says, shout out to Jay's new internet, all that red. He looks like the Kool-Aid man. Also, Blur Jack the Dark was the truth.
Y'all gonna quit hating on the sexy ass supervillain hoodie. It if is. You notice, I got a collection of these bitches in red, gray, black, and now I pink, baby.
And don't call Jay the Kool-Aid. My man's been working out. My man has been working out.
I'll be in his yoga streets just again.
Have y'all not seen the YouTube video about how the Kool-Aid man is actually more dangerous than Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet? There's proof to that shit because he's actually part of Marvel canon. Marvel did a storyline with the Kool-Aid man. This nigga can alter like matter and time and space. So Kool-Aid man is terrifying.
I'll be right back though. I gotta send it.
I'll send it to you after the show, bro. It's wild.
All right, let's move back into the show for God's sakes. We're 30 minutes in. Hey, thank you. You see those Streamlabs and Super Chat coming in? please send in your Streamlabs super chats over the next hour and a half as we do the show here. Really need your support, really want your support, really would like your support here. All to support all things we do here on the Outlaw Nation, including Game Time and supporting this show that makes you laugh every week and that entertains you with our sports takes. We know this ain't Sports Center, and there's a reason for that. All right,
before you go to the story.
All right.
You better quit acting like this clownness and laughter and shit don't happen on the show. You're like, guys, we gotta do the stories.
I know, but I gotta fill my part. You guys do your part. I gotta fill my part, which is somehow keep us on track. And that is the first game here. The Steelers defeated the Titans in a battle of 5-0 undefeated teams here, 27-24. This was an incredible game. Watching yesterday.
It really was.
Big Ben, 32-49 for 268 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he did have 3 interceptions. Ryan Tannehill, 220 yards and 2 touchdowns himself. Derrick Henry, only 75 yards rushing. The Steelers said they keyed on stopping him. He got 1 touchdown. Deontay Johnson for the Steelers, 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster, 85 yards. Their much vaunted rookie, Les Claypool, -2 yards. But A.J. Brown showed out. If you had A.J. Brown this week on fantasy, because he's up and down, if you had him this week in fantasy, you did well. 6 catches for 153 yards and a touchdown.
I'm just saying. This is my victory dip.
except
I lost fantasy this week on both. Oh, that sucks. Even though they went off, bro, because who thought Patrick Mahomes would have the quietest day ever? Who knew that Tom Brady was gonna fucking blow up while Patrick Mahomes gonna be silent? I ain't know this. I ain't know Russell Wilson gonna throw 3 interceptions. What the fuck is this?
It's a crazy day. It was a crazy day.
The
Steelers were up 27-7 early in the third quarter of this game, and then the Titans came storming back. They were 1 field goal miss away from tying this game up, and really, they got really close to winning the game. They were, I think, within the 20 or 30-yard line with 1 minute something left, but couldn't quite get enough plays to get into the end zone, but then settled for that field goal, and then Gostkowski missed the field goal, which was a shame there, and the Steelers squeaked by here in Tennessee. What did this show you about both of these teams, gentlemen?
Well, I will say, for one, we all were wondering what would Tannehill do second season. You know, after we saw what he did with that playoff run and everything, we saw that. And then we started seeing how the beginning of the season worked, and many other analysts on many other channels have said, yo, do we look at these first couple of games like preseason?
Yeah.
Because of the way there was no preseason. But now they found their rhythm. But then you're coming into a team, a well-oiled machine such as the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And even a well-oiled machine sometimes stall, because we've seen that happen. But they have found their groove this season. Mm-hmm. And that, if they keep this momentum and their groove going, that's a scary team for the AFC.
Yeah, a lot of people say now you got to take the Steelers seriously, Winston, that they are going to the Super Bowl, or they're a Super Bowl contender at least. And after this game, a tough, tough game where they had to fight off a game opponent who was ready to come back at home and probably beat them, you got to give them credit for jumping out early and maintaining that lead and getting by with this game. Did you see anything in this game that made you think the Steelers weren't ready for to be a Super Bowl contender?
No, I mean, here was the thing, though. Both of these teams, I think that this is going to be who we're seeing realistically. The Chiefs have been so up and down, more so than I thought they would be. I mean, they're still the champs. You got to respect them. The Ravens have been able to be really tripped up. The Titans didn't lose this game, per se, as this they didn't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the two most lethal teams in the AFC. So I plan to see both of them in the AFC championship game. I honestly think it comes down to a coin flip. Injuries are what will determine it. I think it comes out to a coin flip as to who walks away with this. Yeah. But I think what ultimately this came down to, I think that the Steelers were so mad that the fucking Titans were playing like, let's just do whatever the fuck we want with COVID. They said, fuck this, we're going to win no matter what, because fuck y'all for screwing up the schedule.
That's true.
Like, I think the stat that I'm most excited about is, because I've always been a huge Mike Tomlin fan, mm-hmm. if they end up with the winning season, he becomes tied for the most winning seasons in the first in the opening years of one's career as a head coach. He's at 13. He would tie for 14. I cannot remember the coach that he would do it with, but like, when we were talking about earlier about if Tomlin doesn't figure it out that he might get fired, I think he has his job as long as he wants it.
Now, like, it seems like, yeah.
Realistically, like, you got to give him credit in that, like, he always seems to find a way with the fucking Steelers, man. Maybe they don't get to the promised land all the time, but he's had, what, 2 Super Bowl appearances and a win? Like, come on now. Like, the dude is Teflon, I think.
Even last year with that patchwork QB situation with Mason Rodgers and that other guy, Mason Rudolph, right? And they almost got into that. They almost got into the playoffs. They were so close to getting in the playoffs, even with that patchwork quarterback. I think last year was some of the best coaching Mike Tomlin has ever done as a coach. And now he's picking right back where he left off with Ben Roethlisberger hitting on all cylinders.
I'd like to say to Omar Epps Sr., you are doing an amazing job.
Oh, boy.
Coaching Pittsburgh Steelers. And, again, I think the Steelers' biggest asset are the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the quarterback situation, yeah, it is what it is. We know who he is. He's established, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Right.
But their receivers are legit threats because you cannot put everybody on them.
Right.
You try to play man coverage with them if you won't, they'll run a route that'll cross them off and somebody getting lost in the shuffle.
Well, they don't
have to utilize their receivers.
Either one of them can take over a game right now, even the Rook. Yep. And they see that. So if you're keying on the Rook, well, here comes Juju to get his stuff. Here comes Johnson to get his stuff. So
here comes Claypool.
Claypool.
That pissed me off, bro. How am I going to pick up Claypool and Claypool have 0.3 points this week, this little motherfucker. I was smart enough to bench CeeDee Lamb just because the quarterback situation was so shaky in Dallas. I didn't think that any of the Dallas receivers were really going to get that much. But I thought Claypool, after having multiple games of blowing up, that he would still, even with Juju coming back, would get his touches.
Your heart just
bro. I was undefeated in one league and I had only lost 2 games in another. I'll still be in first in one of them, but I'll probably get knocked down to second in another, bro. Like, I was just trying to roll. Can I have one good thing in my life? Like, I gotta, you know, the personal thing I'm dealing with that, like, is breaking my heart, me and Kristen's heart right now. You fucking know about that. I told you know about that. You know, I'm stressed out about Smets. Like, that's my boy. I'm stressed out about that. The election's fucking killing my bitch ass out here. I just did 2 auditions. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'm almost out of money. Like, nigga, like, I'm stressed.
And his impotence? Like, yo, that's a lot.
ain't no impotence. Ain't no impotence, bro. Ain't no impotence. Ain't no impotence.
The blue chew. The
blue chew is to fuck your girl. That's it, bro. That's what that is. You know what the deal is. But don't you ever in a million years talk about my penis again, nigga. Because you fight. I will fight you. Like,
because you really want to talk about
I'll fucking fight you. Hey, bro.
Tell your girl, check her DMs.
Which young QB? You out here like Clubber Lang. That's also a Rocky reference. Which young QB would you rather have, Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert? Bring it present over my pod. I'll show you real man. And last night,
it's like the best speech ever, bro. And I told Jay, I was like, you just should be Mr. T all the time, man.
Clubber is the best. Parna. I don't care what anybody says. Clubber is the best. Would you have I'd rather have Kyler Murray right now than Justin Herbert. Roberto, it's not even a comparison because Kyler's in his second year. Justin is still in his 4th or 5th game. You got more time. And I haven't watched that pay-per-view yet to know if it's good, but I heard the Sasha Bailey match was incredible. So
it was. It was.
Watching it. Yeah. What do you guys think? Herbert or Kyler Murray? Who was more Murray seasoned right now, right?
I'm getting Murray because, like you said, Murray got seasoned. He's seasoned now.
Look what he did last night.
I know, right?
He went bar for bar with Russell Wilson and out-barred Russell Wilson, bro. This is the first bad game that Russell had. And that's probably more on the Cardinals' defense than anything else.
Yeah.
But Kyler was like, you giving me an opportunity? I'm about to fuck y'all up with it. So.
Exactly. All right. Well, the Steelers look good to me. They definitely look like contenders for a Super Bowl here. But the Titans, I don't think they lose anything by losing this game. They looked fantastic coming back, storming back. And I expect them to be in the mix all the way to the end because Tannehill took some rough hits and kept going. That spin move when he got jacked when he was trying to get some yards there for his team late in the game and got right back up and bounced up. I was like, you know what? You got some balls, kid. You got some balls. So respect to that guy. And we'll see as Tennessee goes forward. this could be a rematch in the playoffs, and I'm looking forward to it. And it could determine playoff seeding between both of these teams. Mm-hmm. Having the Steelers beat Tennessee, they might get a little bit better advantage or home field advantage in the game. We shall see for sure. But I'm looking forward to that.
When you're talking about 5-0 undefeated teams, solid undefeated teams. Like, again, the Bears are 5-1, but every Bear fan knows, like,
this is an iffy 5-1.
Y'all are all scared of when you run into a Cardinals or a Seattle or a Raven .
Listen, let me tell you something. The moment we run into those teams, you're going to hear me playing all the old school Drake albums because I know how sad it's going to be.
Yo, you just going to sit here playing Marvin's Room for the remainder of
the But I'm just saying, so it goes back to Roker's point. One of the teams had to lose regardless.
Yeah.
You know that when you got two undefeated teams like that, and it's not skeptical undefeated teams, it isn't one of you like, well, look at who they beat. Look at who you like, yo, they fought in all of these games. And so when one of them is defeated, you're like, okay, it's a loss on the record, but it doesn't take away from what that team is. And the final score even tells you more about that as well, because the final score, what was it, 27-24?
27-24. It's close. Yeah.
It's a field goal. So it doesn't take anything away. It doesn't, you know, people are like, well, can it kill their momentum? No. If you're the Titans, you're like, all right, let's focus and get back to business. That game is over. Let's go ahead now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting with the Bears, man. You got the Rams, as we said, tonight, but then you've got the Saints, then you're at Tennessee, then the Vikings, then the Packers at the Packers, then the Lions, Texans at the Vikings, at the Jaguars. I think you're going to upset a couple of people, a couple of teams here down the road. I think there's a very real possibility y'all end up 11-5
or 10-6. Also, but I do own a Rams jersey just in case. So what I'm saying, I do own a Rams jersey just in case.
You've worn it.
So, you know, but I mean, look, again, we've won games because the other team lost them,
right?
Not we beat them. Right. That can continually happen.
Absolutely. Well, we got 184 of y'all watching us right now, but only 74 likes. Please hit that like button. Get us up there over 150 likes. That like button is that thumbs up button you see on the side there below the video, just in case some of you don't know where that like button is. Hit that like button. And if you're watching us later, and a lot of you do watch us later, leave us a comment as well down below. Codeman 1243, whatever that is, 1234344, says, let's go Chargers. So happy now. Herbert looks good. A fan since SD and will always be SD to me. So San Diego Chargers fan for quite some time. Yeah, Herbert did look good last night. That's for sure. He's been looking good for the last few games, to be honest. So it's nice of them to get a victory finally in one of his good games.
I'm just looking at your schedule here. I think you win the next – even though I think the Rams have it, if I'm being realistic here, I think you win the next two. I think you lose three. I think you win another two, and then you lose out the rest of the season.
Oof, wow. So 9-7. That's so you made us 9-7. Wow. Again, 9-7, it depends. Now, unless the NFC starts – people start becoming monsters out the NFC, 9-7 is a playoff potential.
Yeah.
It's a playoff potential.
That's for sure. We'll find out. All right, let's move on here. We spoke about Kyler Murray here just a second ago. What an incredible game last night. This was a great way to cap a fun day of football. This fantastic game between Kyler Murray and his Cardinals versus Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. They did it 37-34 over the Seahawks in overtime. I think a couple of key plays here. This was a good battle. This was a back and forth between both of these teams. But I think a key play here was Arizona was down by 10 with just over 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And they got a key fourth and one conversion. And then that costly penalty from the Seahawks when they were trying to hit that field goal gave them new life, and they scored that touchdown. And then Russell throwing that interception in overtime near the end of the overtime. Could have been a tie, but near the end of the overtime allowed them to drive down and make up for the fact that they'd missed a field goal near the end of regulation and get that field goal to win. Russell was 33 of 50 for 380 yards and three touchdowns, but three interceptions himself and 84 yards rushing. Kyler Murray, 34 of 48 for 360 yards. You know who showed out, though? Tyler Lockett showed up, 15 catches for 200 yards and three touchdowns. And DeAndre, 10 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown. Now, is this the kind of signature win for the Cardinals that lets you know, okay, this team, you got to take this team seriously now. You got to take this team. It's for real. Kingsbury and Murray are really turning this team around. or is this just one of those fluke victories Seattle gives up every year and they're going to keep doing it, and Cardinals are going to end up like 8-8 or something like that? What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So, I think you do have to. He can't stop laughing. I think you do have to look at the Cardinals seriously now, because remember, again, second year Kyler Murray. First year Kyler Murray. Everybody was like, "Yeah, the A's still probably had a contract available for you if you want to go play."
Right.
And now you're like, "Oh, he's an NFL quarterback." Mm. And he's making game time decisions and being clutch when he needs to be. Yeah. So yeah, the Cardinals can be a threat again. I mean, again, this ain't taking nothing away from the Seahawks, because they're the Seahawks. I mean,
right.
Once they finally get their full defensive rhythm again, because the offensive, they're great. Pretty good. You know, it's defensive that they need to step up on. You know, losing that Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Losing having fans in CenturyLink, despite what people may think, hurts, because that sound they make in CenturyLink is ridiculous, will mess up offenses. So yeah, that is a part of losing, you know, losing some of the defense.
Yeah. What do you think, Winston? What did you see out of this game that really kind of turned you around on the Cardinals, or made you think the Cardinals for real, or are they not for real in your mind?
That Bill O'Brien is the worst coach and GM we've ever seen. Why would you give DeAndre Hopkins to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals? Because even Larry Fitz is out here talking about, yo, fam, on the sideline. Like, Larry old, bro. Larry old, but he's still got the sauce, right?
Yeah.
He's out here so proud to see a guy that does what he does probably just as well, if maybe better than Larry did at his peak. Because Larry's thing that he does so well is he's fast, he's tall, and he's got hands, and he runs them routes. And look at DeAndre Hopkins out here hopping over fools, talking about la 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 la, and like into the end zone. So like,
say it again,
la 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 la, like, right into the end zone. So like, I think the big thing that you got to see on display here, you got to see the Cardinals go up against a team, like a legit team, and not only that, a division rival, and close that gap, man. Like, I think that Kyler still has a ways before he's in the MVP conversation. That's a good intro. Like, if this was an essay, that was a good thesis statement. Yeah. I will now prove to you why Kyler Murray deserves to be MVP, and that's a great like opening salvo. But I still think, even though he had a bad game right now, for even talking MVP conversations, it's still Russell Willie.
Yeah.
But Kyler Murray just gave a – he just said, allow me to reintroduce myself, bro. And it, the Cardinals are a team to be terrified of.
Yeah.
That yesterday proved that. Mm-hmm. Because that defense, I know it can be hit or miss. All those picks, they were reading Russell like a book, bro, like a graphic novel they could not put down. Like that first interception that DK had to run back, oh my God.
Man,
Holy said, and then was gone. It reminded me of the Super Bowl that the Seahawks lost, honestly.
Mm. For those of us who are older, it reminded us of when Daryl Green chased down Tony Dorsett, when Tony Dorsett was running towards the end zone. And Daryl Green, nobody thought Daryl was going to catch him. He swung all the way around the field and caught him right before. Don't you say nothing, old man. Don't you say a goddamn word. And it caught him from behind.
You too can be a senior citizen one day.
Shit. Don't look like that at all.
All right, let's see. You realize how you just said shit. Like an old man at a barbecue. Shit.
Like what's his face from The Wire? Shit.
Yeah, Isaiah Whitlock. Shit.
If I get him one day to interview, I'm going to have him do it with me one time.
Such a cool dude. Such a great dude.
That's what I hear, man. Oh, my God. I hear he's awesome.
He's awesome.
All right, let's move on to our next game, and that is Tom Brady throwing 4 touchdowns and rushing for 1 to lead the Bucs over the Raiders here, 45-20. Brady looked fantastic, man. Just look reborn, like Apollo Creed. He looked reborn. Derek Carr, 24 of 36 for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns. Scotty Miller, another white kid running around for Tom Brady, got 6 catches for 109 yards and a touchdown. Gronk himself got a touchdown, and Gronk is looking better week to week, and that should scare the shit out of anybody playing Tampa Bay if he's starting to get back into rhythm. Nelson Aguilar kept doing his thing for the Raiders, 5 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. The thing is, this game was only 24-20 with 12 minutes and 43 seconds left of the game, and then the Bucs exploded for 21 points to make it seem like it was more of a blowout than it really was. The Raiders were hanging with them, but in the end, they just couldn't get the job done. So what do you take from this? Like everyone's talking now like the Bucs are the best team in the NFC possibly, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys feel that way too?
I knew we were going to do that. I knew. Yep.
And I'm gonna best team in the NFC? Here. Come on. No.
That's but what I'm saying. I'm not talking about just because of here. I just knew that one, if they found any little bit of rhythm, you would go have people, oh, they the best team in the NFC. Could they be the best team in the NFL? Stop.
They're the. Stop. I'll give them this. I think they're currently the best team in the NFC South.
See, South? Yes, oh, they
sure,
are.
Sure,
they're
sure.
The number one team in the NFC South.
I think Drew Brees doesn't look like Drew Brees. I think that not having Mike Thomas is exposing the Saints. They barely won that game against Carolina. Yeah. Like, I think it is very – like, the Falcons are not even in the conversation. The Panthers look pretty decent, considering all things considered. No CMC, really no other big weapons to speak of. It really is just Teddy kind of willing that in that defense, and you got a new head coach down there and everything. There's a lot going on. Yeah. But the Bucs look better than the Saints right now because the Saints are figuring out their defensive woes. They're figuring out their receiver woes. I'll give them that, but the best in the NFC, nah, man. The Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Packers.
We got to stop that, man. Like,
yeah, we got time to figure that out. It's too soon. Oh, yeah. Just because Brady is feeling comfortable now or getting more comfortable with this offense, we won't know for another few weeks how good they really are. And that's we got to find out what's going on. And you're right. Exactly what we said about Drew Brees. He's missing Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Still did what he needed to do. Kamara and him leading that team to a victory over the Panthers wasn't easy. But here you look at this. I mean, this is a Raiders team that is Jekyll and Hyde. They got COVID issues going on now. And Gruden tried to make excuses afterwards, saying he couldn't get all the O-line in to practice fully because of COVID quarantine, all that shit. Don't let your motherfuckers walk around without masks. Don't be an idiot yourself. Being coached on the sideline, turning that mask into a mustache instead of actually wearing it over your face. You share that example. So don't come crying that you can't get those players to come also, practice. You know, it's your own fault.
Also, you have a Raiders team that got no sacks.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different ball game. Because what we've seen games with this Bucs team this year that when Tom Brady starts getting sacked, when people get through that line and get through, it's a wrap. So let's not act like, again, the best team in the league when that O-line, depending on who they playing, can be suspect.
Yeah, exactly. Ratnick's like, Bucs are better than Ratnick, the three of us are better than the NFC East. Kiss my ass with that shit. You're not saying nothing there. Let me see here. What else we got going
on? I see on that with this call.
We got a couple of streamlabs that rolled through. Christian Ramos, he said, hey, guys, did y'all see that video from Rex Chapman's Twitter where homeboy dropped from a wrestling ring to the mat and both of his beams bent backwards like a flamingo?
You haven't seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
I haven't seen it.
Go to my IG real quick and look at it. It's the greatest.
I might be able to bring it up because it's under 6 seconds, that video. I might be able to bring it up.
No, it's like a 15-second video, but you can play it. It won't drop it. Trust me, because I do that all the time.
Okay.
I just want to say, dude, now people going to think I'm an asshole for this, but this is as a professional.
What am I looking at? I see wrestling. I see
the wrestling video. That's the one.
Yeah.
The wrestling video. 17, 16.
It's what? You, 15 player. Hours ago, you just jumped off. What the fuck was that?
Death. That's what that was. And it was a person who's out of shape who should not be on a ring.
And that's an out of shape yarder. We call backyarders yarders. They wrestlers who think they real wrestlers because they can just set up some bullshit in a backyard.
Talking about football.
Game time, bitch. So the thing is, as a professional, that's what you get. Your untrained ass, you're not out of shape. Yeah. You just put on some pants and a shirt and some gloves and thought, oh, I'm a wrestler. And then your body can't handle shit like that. So when this motherfucker jumps down, his knees go backwards and his legs pop out like that black kid at the end of that Charlie Sheen movie, The Arrival. Remember how short he was?
I thought my references were old. Let me see here.
And this shit popped out. And so hopefully, Roku, I'm giving Roku time to get this in here.
Oh, my goodness.
Why do we know this person?
Oh, he's just some guy out in the and Rex Chapman tweeted it. Rex Chapman's been tweeting a lot. Rex Chapman tweeted. Oh my God! Let's take a look at it one more time. It's great.
The way his body gives up after the knees go. And my knees go back in his front body. Oh.
Of course, got just.
Both of them.
Gross. Ronnie Padilla.
Oh, horrific. Anyway, there you go. Don't get off. Never jump off.
People were like, oh, they had to be fake. No, that's all.
Well, that was real.
You can't fake a motherfucker's knee. Going like, horrific. How you doing? His knee started to do like Tisha Campbell. You got to push. They went backwards. You got to push.
DeFilia Brady said, as a Colts fan, I'm just happy Rivers didn't throw any interceptions this week. Yeah, because they didn't play this week. And Connor Pearson Ward sent something, which I want to bring up. I think it's a hilarious little super chat. He said, if we need a man to play the Black Panther, it would be DK Metcalf. Man don't even need the heart-shaped herb.
And man, he was running. Can you imagine being everybody else on the defense of Arizona's defense, and you look up and you like, the fuck? Like, because he came from all the way in the backfield.
Yeah. It looked like LeBron running the court. It was so, he's so big.
It looked like LeBron's block. The right? Block for around the world, bro. Like, he was like, too bad it didn't stop Arizona from eventually scoring, but it did stop it in that moment. That was impressive.
True. That's very true. Very true. All right, let's move on to our next game here, and that's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. He tossed 4 touchdowns to help the Packers beat the Texans here. 35-20, Aaron Rodgers had 283 yards, or threw for 283 yards. Deshaun Watson, 29-39 in a losing – and poor Deshaun, man. Deshaun is trying to do all he can to try to help that team. 309 yards, 2 touchdowns. But Devontae Adams went next level. He is now the best receiver in the NFL. I don't think there could be any argument. 13 catches, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns. Randall Cobb had 8 catches for 95 yards. Remember him? But pretty methodical win here with Devontae just running riot over that Texans D. Texans had a late 4th-and-1 that if they had converted could have led to a touchdown. They cut the score to one game, cut the game to a 1-score game. But in the end, the Packers D came through. They did recover that onside kick, the Texans did, but then David Johnson coughed it up, and the Packers recovered. So what do you take out of this? Just pretty methodical thing for the Packers to get this victory. Yeah, anything to take out of this?
It's
Texans. Yeah. It's the Texans.
They've been trying to refine. Look, it sucks we have to say this, but the best thing for them was getting rid of Bill O'Brien, but now they have not found an identity yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was the best thing, but it's like, damn, you thought you would at least picked up some type of what are we going to do? Who are we going to be? What are we going to be on the field? And it's like, yo, y'all are just falling from grace. And then to quote Stephen A. Smith, when we talking about Aaron Rodgers, that's a bad, bad man. Like, he's still, again, he's doing everything he can. Yeah. I don't care what y'all say. Aaron Rodgers is doing everything in his power to keep Jordan Love from taking that field. He is doing everything for them to have to say, Jordan Love, go in. Because he knows if Jordan Love goes in, there's a potential he may not come back in.
Right. Right,
the Aaron Rodgers is playing for his job.
Yeah, it's a great point. And we can see. We definitely will see. I mean, I just think it's further proof that the Packers are cut above this year, and they're just doing their thing. And just even handling a game Texans team as easily as they did and as methodically as they did just lets you know where they're at mentally. And then Drew Brees here for the Saints threw for 287 yards and 2 touchdowns. As Winston mentioned, they got that victory 27-24. You got to give Brees and Alvin Kamara credit. They did this all without Michael Thomas and without Emmanuel Sanders. And even Drew Brees got himself a rushing touchdown. Of course, Teddy Bridgewater taking on his former team, who he had been the backup and led them to a 5-0 record last year while Brees was out. Teddy had 23 of 28 for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns. Mike Davis led all Panthers rushers with 12 yards rushing. That's ridiculous. DJ Moore had two catches for 93 yards and two touchdowns. Carolina missed a 65-yard field goal to tie it near the end. It would have set the record. The guy, he fell a yard short from getting it over the pipe there to get that victory. So just a shame overall, but you know, good game back and forth. There were a lot of good games yesterday. That was certainly one of them. And Drew Brees and the Saints still looking like they can hang when they need to hang. So anything you take away from this one?
I mean, that's the thing. The Saints are still going to be lethal, even though they are struggling.
Yeah.
The Saints are still the Saints. They will work it out. I just don't know how I feel until you get Mike Thomas back on the field. You're not seeing their full lethality, and their defense is sus, man.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. They have multiple times been knocked out of the playoffs because of blown plays off of like ridiculous. Like one of them was the ref said "fuck y'all" and like let a dude drop kick a fucking Saints receiver to let the Rams go to the Super Bowl. But like I think about the miracle in Minneapolis. You know what I'm saying? Like I know that was rookie time for LeSean, but like for Lattimore. But like fuck, dude. I don't know. They're just very very sus.
And then when you're talking about the Panthers, look, they are really – DJ Moore has to be on. He's finally trying to get back in his stride. Teddy Bridgewater has to become more comfortable, just plain and simple. And until you get CMC back, Mike Davis got to step up. Like, you can have one good game, and we all like, okay, he's doing the job. But then when you don't repeat those stats and those actions, now you really put Carolina in a predicament because we all have said, well, it's on the back of CMC. It's on the back of CMC. And then Christian McCaffrey goes down and you're like, ooh, what they gonna do?
Yeah.
And now Mike Davis comes in, like I said, first time, makes it. Now, again, there's a lot of pieces that have to come together.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and the jury's still out. And like you guys said, the jury's still out. We got to see more, but you know they're doing what they can to get those victories, to put themselves in a good position. So when they come back, they're an even stronger team. We shall see. The Kansas City Chiefs ran all over the Broncos here, 43-16 in the snow. It was nice to see football in the snow for the first time this year. I was enjoying the hell out of that. But the Chiefs, it was a weird victory. Like you said earlier, Winston, Mahomes didn't throw for much, just 200 yards and a touchdown. And that you had a 102-yard kickoff return from Baron Pringle for the Chiefs. You had a pick six for the Chiefs. Melvin Gordon lost two fumbles on this one for the Broncos. But this was a pretty thorough whooping. But they did it without needing Mahomes to throw for 350 yards or five touchdowns. Just pretty methodical. Yet they won 43-16. So not too bad here by these Chiefs.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Let you know that you don't have to rest purely on Mahomes.
Exactly.
Because then you don't want to end up in a Dak situation. I mean, the thing is, you still need Mahomes. Mahomes still has to be there. But yes, you can do it other ways. Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the thing. You're not saying you don't need them, but just you can – because now, remember, again, after you win the Super Bowl, everybody's studying you more. And the main thing defenses are having to study is what is Patrick Mahomes going to do? What is Mahomes going to do? And now you have this killer backfield that they're developing in Kansas City. And now you're like, well, damn, how can we really plan for both? Because you can – defenses aren't able to plan for both like that. It's a game plan of either we're going to focus on their run or focus on their pass. And now if their run is developing, guarantee you, who's their next game?
For which one?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Let's take a look here real quick. Let me bring it up.
I didn't have any fun. I thought I should
have. No worries. Keep talking, man. I'll get to it real quick.
Whoever their next team – the next team they're playing, I guarantee you they're focusing on the run now. Because now you've had two games out of Patrick Mahomes where he hasn't really been Patrick Mahomes. And so now they're like, all right, we got to stop their run. And you'll see the first couple of series from the Chiefs literally play to him.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the run. Now let's switch it up. And now this is what we've really been going for. Now here's the passing game. And now everybody's like, oh, shit, what do we do?
Well, they got the Jets next. the Panthers.
Well, that's just they're actually on. They actually, as we currently are speaking, are praying with rosaries and on bended knees in a chapel right now because they were like, "God, listen, we don't know what we did to deserve this." But if
Let's see. I'm curious, since you mentioned the Jets, what team do you think the Jets upset? Because it always happens. You very rarely.
This towards the end of the season. Look, who's the end of the season games?
This is the game. Oh, that is the Jet season for sure. Right now, no lie.
Well, they gotta get this. This went well. Yeah, so they get one of these in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. First out. Somebody.
So I'm trying to think. Who do you think will do it? I think the team that the Jets upset.
It's towards the end of the season because again.
No, I think they beat the Patriots after the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think the Patriots. I think they beat the Patriots.
I'm ready to talk about this. Monday Night Football. I have a lot of things to say about that.
Yeah.
What about how many Boston? How many people in Boston dropped the N word like 20 times?
You ever thought that was not gonna happen? Sure, it's been happening these past 2 weeks.
But I guarantee you. As a matter of fact, I almost want to call Roxy and be like, "Get your people." I can't even see them physically. I'm not in Boston. I guarantee you, it's just flying. It's flying more than those interceptions that Cam was handing out, bro. In
Boston. So what happened with the Patriots? Well, that nigger Cam Newton fucked up.
Whoa. You went hard R like it was implied.
But I do think this is the biggest part about that. This is showing something that a lot of people aren't paying attention to. The after effects to COVID. Mm. Because before Cam had COVID, he was killing.
True. Oh, man.
He was killing.
Right. Is he suffering some kind of after effects from having COVID and what have you? You know, they released that news report this morning about that running back for the Jaguars, that second or third string running back who still hasn't come back fully from the COVID diagnosis, still having problems, and he's sitting out the rest of the season. So like
I would love to know that, but you know what's funny? They'll never admit it.
He can't even admit
it. That's the fucked up part, because that's exactly what you need to do. But you know, there's a couple reasons why. The first thing is they'll be like, "Well, does that mean that your lungs are permanently fucked, your legs are permanently fucked, or whatever that's fucked?" In which case, no money for you. But also, all of these people that watch football, they're like, "It's not even a real thing." Like, he's just a pussy. That's what's going on.
Because also, remember, when we're talking about a pro athlete who, once he gets the clear,
someone's saying he was asymptomatic.
Yeah, but I'm saying once he gets the clarity that he can go back to train.
Right.
Again, once you get you're clear to train, now you have to try to push your body back to where it was. And you're just, again, you're done with the virus itself, but the complications it was just caused, you don't know what literally is happening completely inside your body because we can't see it unless you're being examined. So, you know, we can all be like, "Yo, why his coordination is off and this, that, and the third?" Again, Cam before COVID was killing.
Yeah.
Cam post-COVID has been terrible. And until he finally and now he's been benched. So somebody needs to put two and two. I mean, two and two go together in this case.
Cam, do you think it's COVID?
Hello.
Yes!
Oh, fair point, Cam. That was so well done. Wow. But yes.
You're right. Shout out to Jay. Jay got it right.
that would be my guess. Even if he was asymptomatic, he still had it in his system. I think that's the thing. His body probably put a lot of energy into just making sure he was good. So maybe he didn't show things physically. It could be like people have been saying with this, why it's so dangerous with those pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
As a football player, the pre-existing condition is he takes a fucking beating every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it would clearly just be that his recovery just isn't as strong as it would be if he had never gotten it. So you never know. And
also, D-Train in the comments said, "I guess Robert Pattinson won't perform his ability in the Batman." Yo, you realize how stupid that sounds?
That's like a complete
stupid you sound.
On top of the fact that Robert Pattinson has a stuntman?
Yeah.
Like,
you sound hella dumb.
To do the fighting and the pratfalls
Robert Pattinson can't stand there, you know. So I just want to make sure I protect my city. He can't just do it. Are you fuck?
Anyway, let's move on from that. Let's see real quick. D-Train says, speaking of D-Train, he put a super chat in and said, make New York football teams great again. Yeah, all right. Well, that's going to
take were they ever? That's a good question. When were they ever great? Joe Namath and then those few times Tom Brady went to the Super Bowl. What else are we talking about?
Well, also they'll go, well, Eli Manning got them 2 Super Bowls.
That's what I'm saying. The only time that happened is when they were like, Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl, hold my beer. That's about it. Otherwise, Giants have been sus.
Chris Taylor says, Dolphins fan here, nervous and excited about Tua starting this Sunday. Yeah, guys, what do you think happens here with Tua starting the Sunday, getting the, you know, he's had 2 weeks to kind of sit there, get take first team reps, sit down with the playbook, get ready for this. Do you think they made, Brian Flores made this move because he saw a lot of things from him in practice, got him a little bit of game time near the end of that last game and feels comfortable moving forward? Because this doesn't make sense to make this.
Hey, man, they said made that choice quickly that he was the QB.
Fitzpatrick wasn't doing bad. It wasn't great, but he wasn't doing bad. So this is an interesting move. Because Tua is really ready?
So bad for Fitzpatrick. You know what Fitzpatrick is? What y'all are the wrestling fans. Are you the wrestler? What is the name of a wrestler that's being used to help put over a young star?
He's a jobber.
He's a jobber, bro. Yeah, yeah. That's what he did for Tua. He was literally there so then Tua could come in and look like some sort of superhero. Like they're over here in practice, making sure he's good. And the minute they're like, he good, they're like, all right, well, now it's time for this young star to rise. Like,
well, here's the thing, too. It is. Yeah, you're right, Roka. Fitzmagic wasn't playing bad because I got to call him Fitzmagic the way he was doing. But you got to also remember this one thing. When teams draft these rookie quarterbacks, these highly touted rookie quarterbacks, you are not going to let them in most cases, they got to get the feel at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if not, then they end up going to another team. And now you're sitting there looking stupid because now they're showing what they could have done with your organization.
Yeah.
Now, true. People have to understand this. No matter what his first full game is, that is not indicative of what he's going to be down the line. Right. And that is whether he is good or bad. You want him to be good, but that is not going to be the benchmark for what he is. Because if the next game he has is terrible, then you're like, well, what happened? Right. He's got to get his wheels on him as a starting NFL quarterback.
Very true. Very true. Adrian M. Soto donated. Thank you for the stream lab, Adrian. And very kind of you. He said, Winston, as a Cowboys fan, one issue I see for Dallas is Jerry Jones. The man is a money GM and holds 3 positions. Jerry won't hire a coach that isn't a yes man. You 3 are the best. Greetings from West Texas. Yeah, what do you think there, Winston?
I mean, this is a theory, and not a theory. This is a fact that's been proven forever. I mean, the closest you got to hiring a coach that could do this after Bill Parcells was Wade Phillips. But then when Wade Phillips showed what he was really made of, you didn't fire him right away when you should have. You dragged that on and then waited till you lost to the Texans and fired him midseason. Then you brought in Jason Garrett, who had an okay season and brought us to 8-8. And then the motherfucker averaged 8-8 for pretty much his entire coaching career with us. And you didn't fire him. You just kept going on. And then you went and got Mike McCarthy. Yes, Mike McCarthy does have a Super Bowl ring, which does give the opportunity to give him some sort of like a pass.
Right.
But based off of how he left Green Bay, based on how you hired Mike and that you had a sleepover, similar to how Antonio Brown had one with Tom Brady that one time, and now he follows him everywhere like a lost puppy, like Skeeter on Doug. You just have to realize that Jerry Jones, you like that, huh? You just have to realize that Jerry Jones is so caught up in this idea that I did it. Look, it's me.
Right.
That this is going to continue forever. Unless you get the balls to go find a Mike Tomlin, the balls to find a Bill Belichick, the balls to go find a Pete Carroll, this is going to be the same old song and dance as long as he runs the team. Period.
Yeah, fair.
I believe in Steven. Steven has done some like good stuff, but he can't really control his dad all the way. He can do it long enough to be like, you're not drafting Johnny Manziel.
Yeah,
but not enough to like put in a coach that can come in and do the job.
It's true.
Also, I love Skeeter. Let me be really clear here. I only say that in the sense that because I do see black people coming for me right now because we all know Skeeter.
Do you have a disrespect?
Disrespect Skeeter? Skeeter was the man. Skeeter was the man. But that was the whole thing. He was literally used as the black friend trope that comes in to make the white friend look a little bit cooler. Like, let's just be honest. The show should have been named Skeeter, and we should have followed him around and let goofy ass Doug follow Skeeter around. But that's unfortunately not what they did. He went to cookout.
I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't have gone to
the cookout. Everybody mad at me for talking about Skeeter. Look, I love Skeeter. Skeeter's a homie. They are mad. Aisha. Even Aisha been one of my biggest fans. She's like, I'm done with this motherfucker.
I don't blame her.
I know what that look is, just with the emoji. I know the look. You know how many times raised by a black mama with all them black sisters, dated so many black women. I know what the fucking eyes mean. That Aisha done with my ass, bro.
They don't even blink. They just...
This is bullshit. Skeeter, my homie. I'm just saying, look at how they did the brother in Doug. He literally became the black friend, the magic black friend that beatbox and skateboard. Like, come on now. Like, y'all go really act like they didn't do that to him. They didn't do that to Gerald from fucking Hey Arnold. They played his ass too, became the black friend that came in to make Arnold's goofy football.
Oh, boy.
They played that. No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just saying. Y'all be real. Y'all be real. I saw it. Yo, tell me they didn't fucking play, what's the name? God damn it, the little black girl in Rugrats. She got played too. What's her name? She had to call out Angelica's ass so many times. Tell Christian Ramos to take that back. You ain't gonna put no disrespect on my motherfucking name talking about you don't pictures. I'm not coming for Gerald. Y'all are misunderstanding what's happening. Susie was a boy. Yo, that's fine. You want a nigga gone? I'm gone. That's fine. I'm gone.
I want to thank God for my new internet connection, the way it's working. Let's all walk away.
Bullshit. This is some old bullshit. Y'all know what the fuck I meant. You know what the fuck I meant. I said, I'm tired of seeing black people play sidekicks. That's what I'm fucking saying. You know what the fuck I meant. You know how disrespectful they've been to us. Y'all the worst, bro. Y'all the worst. You know, y'all disrespectful as fuck. The same way they did, yo. Oh, you know goddamn well that Zach, the Black Power Ranger, was that man. And they disrespected my boy. You know they disrespected my boy. You know goddamn well that they disrespected. They disrespected black people in these shows. You know goddamn well. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. I hate y'all. No, I'm not, Corey. You shut your goddamn mouth. The fuck I am. Shut your ass up, motherfucker.
I'm gonna preach, but don't be a bitch.
y'all fucking.
This is what happens. Y'all. You do too many shows, y'all. You make that one comment.
I agree, Stormy Woods. Susie should have knocked out Angelica's bitch ass. Susie should have done to Angelica what that little girl tried to do to her sister when she blew out her birthday cake last week. Susie should have grabbed her by her hair and dragged her ass. God damn it.
I know those Latinas, bro.
You know the girls I'm talking about? Where the one little girl tried to blow out her candle and her sister blew it out, and then she started grabbing her by that motherfucker. You ain't gonna do this on my birthday.
I've seen it happen in my Latino household. You don't blow my candles,
man. I'm just gonna go back to Guyana. Fuck this. I'm just going to Guyana. I appreciate that, Scott. I might have to. That's some old bullshit. This is bullshit.
Oh man.
Yeah, then why was the show called Hey Gerald, which it should have fucking been? That's what I'm saying. Why was it called Skeeter, which it should have fucking been? We had to wait for Cousin Skeeter, and they made my boy Skeeter a puppet? That's some old bullshit. You couldn't let my mans be a real dude?
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of this shit, man. Stop making black people sidekicks. We're greater than that. Why couldn't Zach be the Green Ranger? That's all I'm fucking saying. Y'all try to twist the nigga words, and y'all ain't fucking listening to the message in my heart.
Here's why Zach couldn't be the Green Ranger. Because, nigga, they didn't want to see the Green Ranger like...
Why not, bro? Why not talk about... There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this. And the fucking dragons were talking about... Dragons were taking the tail out, talking about... like fucking knocking shit over. Come on, fam. That was a fucking fire. Man. Come on, man. Y'all... Man, y'all disrespectful as fuck. Y'all disrespectful as fuck. That's what I'm saying. Cousin Skeeter was a sidekick in his own show. I'm trying to tell y'all. Why the fuck y'all ain't listening? Like, listen to my fucking message. Why? I hate y'all so much. Yep, just take us off air. Just take us off, bro. Just take us off, bro. Just take it off.
Oh my god.
This is bullshit. That yo, I understand that it was an all-black cast, but why you gotta make the main character a puppet? You could make my nigga like a real dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Man, come on, man. Like, what the fuck, man? Like,
oh my god, that was great. Like,
man, y'all dirty, bro. Like, y'all, like, you know what? I can't even hold on. I gotta go incognito. Hold on, man. Like, y'all don't
see the whole comment, Brad. Go for it.
Like, come on, man. Like, real. Like, you just gonna make a nigga just, like, disappear in the motherfucker, bro. Like, I don't even want to show my motherfucking face no more. Like, I'm just like, yo, like, I'm good, fam. Man. I don't need all this.
Wow.
Like, shit.
Oh, my God. What is happening?
I don't need all this, bro. Like, I don't. Like, I'll just go away. Like, y'all don't know what I'm
gonna do.
I'll just go away, fam. Like, that's fine. Y'all don't want to see a nigga, bro. Like, the nigga gone. Like, it ain't even me no more. Like, I'm gone. You know what I'm saying?
What is happening?
I am the knight. Arnold.
It's all good. No, it's all good. Nah, man. Nah, we good. We good, fam. We gone. Ain't no Winston no more. We gone.
He said, you got black man, then?
J5.
Oh, this is terrible. This is going on. This is really not Sports Center. Oh my god.
Yo, now that's funny. A preview of Batman in 2022. That's what that shit is right here.
Oh man. Oh my god. This has been insane. All right. Let's move on before we lose everything. Let's see if I got any more Streamlabs super chats. No, there was one from Ranger Donald. Says Cam only has 2 pass touchdowns, which is 32nd in the league with 7 interceptions. Cam might have been balling running before, but that's about it. Well, that's fair. It's a fair assessment of what's happening for sure. Oh my God. This is just going on. Oh my god. All right. Let's
move. Hey, I don't know what you're talking about. You can't tell what skin color I am, nigga. I'm fucking Batman, nigga. You don't know who the fuck I is at this point. Get the fuck out of here with this shit.
Oh my god. Oh, this is incredible. All right. Oh my god. Anyway, let's move on. Well, perfect timing. The Washington football team beat the Cowboys 25-3.
Derek has saved the last day.
Oh my God. I'm going to break in half. The fro, though. Winston out here with his Drake emotions. Oh, no. No. Not Drake. Oh, that's not the reference. That's the bad reference, man. Oh, all right. Anyway. Winston out here looking like Bat Arthur. LOL. Anyway, all right, let's move on. The Washington football team defeated the Cowboys here. What used to be a rivalry game, 25-3. Kyle Allen, 15 of 24 for 194 yards and two touchdowns. Antonio Gibson for the Washington football team, 20 rushes for 128 yards and a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott apparently tanking, 12 rushes for only 45 yards. Terry McLaurin got himself a touchdown. Logan Thompson, but Amari Cooper had 7 catches for 80 yards. But Dalton was knocked out of the game. Got to get your thoughts on this, man. That was a pretty hard hit there. What do you give it? Winston, that was a pretty hard hit. Bostic apparently is not going to suffer any consequences financially or be suspended from any games. But that hit on Dalton was dirty as F. I hated it, man. I don't want to see that stuff. Especially when he's sliding down, man. Are you playing Marvin's Room? Don't play Marvin's Room.
He's playing Marvin's Room.
You gotta get this band, man. Don't play Marvin's Room. At least play JoJo's version. No one heard that one. So that will be a band for that one. Oh, my God. Oh no, at least the mask is black. Oh no.
At least the mask.
That's horrible. Horrible. Oh my God.
Hey Jay, this is how you take your lickings. You see how I didn't walk off like no bitch?
Oh, now he's coming.
Now there it is. I broke your fun now, didn't I, nigga? I broke your fun, didn't I?
You whore. Anyway, thoughts on this one there, Winston? What do you think? Anything? You really think they're tanking? Come on, man. Tell the truth. You don't
know. No, I mean, honestly, I think at this point, you're tanking. Yeah. Why do you even attempt? I mean, they'll probably still win the division, unfortunately, which is absurd. But like what is there to fight for now? What is there to fight for? Sure. Dak ain't coming back. Most of these defensive players aren't coming back till late in the season.
Yeah.
Clearly Zeke ain't stepping up. So what are you fighting for?
Yeah.
So I think at this point, get a couple wins here and there for your morality, but just let that shit go. You all right there? What's wrong?
Jesus Christ. This is terrible. These are terrible. That's not how you spell Jet Li either, Corey's got
you. That's not how you spell Jet Li at all.
I don't know what the fuck you mean.
Let's keep the message. Rachel is going to be very confused. She's going to have no idea what the fuck is going on.
That's true. Ambling Soul is saying as well, Cheryl, LG Cheryl, 208 viewers, but only 133 likes. Let's get up to 150 likes. Also, It's been a bit light on the support here with the Streamlabs and Super Chats. People, I paid these gentlemen off what you sent. So if you're enjoying this, laughing your nuts off right now and having a good time, please send in some support here on your Streamlabs and Super Chats. The Streamlabs address right above Jay's head, or you can find it in the description of this video, or send in a Super Chat as well. And hit that like button. Hit that thumbs up button, for God's sakes. Get us there. Anyway, I think, you know what's crazy is I think the Washington football team has a real shot at winning this division, which is insane to think about, because I will take Kyle Allen over Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, or what's left of Andy Dalton, or this DiNucci kid. Kyle, they have a real opportunity here if they can just figure out this crappy offense.
You want to respect the DiNucci.
DiNucci. Ben DiNucci. But, yeah, this is madness to think the Washington football team has a legitimate chance because everyone else is just so bad. Just so bad, man.
I mean, look, they even said during the game, coming in as a 1-4, 1-5 team,
yeah,
they were feeling charged because of their other win. They were feeling confident. Do you know how sad that is to sit here and say, excuse me, we're a confident team at 1-5 that no matter we can do what we want to do, and then to go in and to obliterate the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah.
It speaks volumes of what the NFC East is.
It does. So we'll see what's happening. All right, G. Smith donated. He said, for the Winston comments. All right, thank you, G. Smith. I appreciate it. It's very kind of you. Keep them coming, ladies and gentlemen. Keep them coming. Over Wentz? Yes, I would absolutely take him over Wentz. Wentz is crap. Wentz is a crap quarterback. He is not doing well, and eventually he will blow it for this freaking Eagles down the road. Trust me on that. Winston staring in snake eyes from the hood. All right. All right. Starring in snake eyes from the hood. There you go. All right. These are getting worse now. You guys did better at the beginning. Now we're starting to lose you a little bit.
I love how Corey spent money for a shitty diss. He was doing much better when he wasn't paying money. Like, that's the one you wanted to spend your $5 on, my dude? Come on, man. Do better.
Yo, I'm not going to lie to you. Until you just moved up, I was like, yo, the mask got black eyes. And then I did see your eyes. And I was like, oh, it actually has eyes. You can see through it. I thought it was a black screen.
Oh, man. Christian Rommel says, on a more serious note, though, your thoughts on Khabib's win and retirement announcement. Also, his late father's passing. Also, P.S., we love you, Winston. I'm sorry if I took it too far.
It's fine. It's all good.
It's all good. We all go through it. We all get
– Yeah, we all do.
We all get attacked every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's all in good fun. Khabib did win his match over Justin Gaethje, meeting him in the second round. This was a pretty heartbreaking thing to watch. It was an unusual pay-per-view, too, because it was very early in the day on Saturday. So you got to watch the highlights of it early. I didn't pay for it, but I watched it. You know, people put those highlights up quickly. Got to watch the match itself. And, Khabib coming out. And after the match, he retired on the spot. He is only 32 years old, 29-0, and recently lost his father. His mother told him not to do the match, not to take the match, because he had never gone out to fight without his dad. Aside as his trainer, it really broke Khabib. After he won, he broke down crying in the ring really hard, and then announced his retirement and said, I just don't want to do this anymore without my dad. It's pretty poignant, considering all the bullshit that Conor McGregor pulled, trying to insult him and his father when they had their fight. It was really poignant to see how much he loved his dad and how difficult this loss is going to be for him. And it looks like he is going to just stay out of the game and move forward with his life. And we wish him the best of luck. But it's just a terrible situation for why he's leaving the game, why he's leaving the UFC. Did you guys see any of this over the weekend?
I saw the highlights myself. Okay. I saw the highlights myself. To go out 29-0, this whole scenario – despite the circumstances, you couldn't get a better ending.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? You know, him losing his father is very unfortunate. Someone who's lost father and mother. Trust me, I know how tough it can be.
Yeah.
And especially having his father be right there with him for every single match. And now his father passes and he couldn't do that other match. And he wins it and then says, I'm done. There's nothing else for me here without my father.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen, unfortunately, is you are going to have Dana White and all of them and Conor McGregor. Conor's especially going to keep talking more and more trash now. Yeah. Let's just be real.
I mean, and he was gracious on Saturday in his tweet and said much love to him and his father, his deceased father. So Conor was gracious. But you're right, Jay. That's different than trying to goad someone out of retirement to fight.
To goad them out of retirement.
Yeah.
That's all it, because they're going to try to goad them out of retirement. And again, McGregor knows, we talk shit about him, but he knows how to make money off something, win or lose.
True.
And the money will have to go up, will go up super sky high. Yeah. It'll probably be a purse that Khabib has never seen.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he may take that fight. This is, but again, this is probably a 2-3 years down the line.
Yeah.
But again, if this is the end of a storied career, it is the perfect way, the perfect closing of this book.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you 1,000%. You see any of this, Winston, or are you good?
Well, I want to see what. I didn't watch that.
Okay. All right. D. Munoz says, Niners keep racking up the injuries. Will a win over the Seahawks have any meaning, or will this just be delaying a drop in the NFC West?
I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, on the one hand, you don't want to just straight give up. On the other hand, yeah, I think let's just be honest here. The Cardinals and the Seahawks are kind of quickly pulling away, especially if the Niners keep getting hurt.
Yeah.
But Henry, I think his name is Henry, the young rookie running back, he looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Double check.
Agree. Give me a second. Take the mask off? Are you going to take the mask off, or are you leaving it on the whole time?
No, it's just this is it from now on. This is
okay.
This is what we're doing, yeah. Okay. I mean, you can hear me, right?
Because that's I can. All
that matters. Yeah, I can. That's all that matters, and we're good. We're good. All right. Hasty is his name. Hasty.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Right. 57 yards off of 9 attempts. Like, I mean, yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Agreed, bub. All right, we got the best of the rest to get to here while Jay's out the door. I don't know where Jay went, but Cam Newton.
To go get his Bane mask because he's Jay.
Oh, okay.
And I also know Javicia Leslie for people. I used to work with her. People are.
That's cool.
That woman. So anyway, go ahead, man.
She's awesome, man. Cam Newton, he threw three picks here, and the Patriots lost to the 49ers 33-6. I think this is more the Patriots kind of imploding than the 49ers looking great. Baker Mayfield, though, tossed five touchdowns, helped the Browns beat Joe Burrow and the Bengals 37-34. This was an unexpectedly close game and a fun game to watch for sure between, you know, a team that has no business even being in close contact with the Browns at this point because of some of their talent. They gave him all they can handle, and this Joe Burrow kid is the truth, man. He's the absolute truth.
Yeah, it is. I felt like, well, also, I had to come to mind because
– Oh, there it is. You called it. Damn if you didn't call it.
I told you. I fucking – look, I know this man, all right?
Well, also, this is the last episode before Halloween, so I figured –
Oh, good point. That's right. We got to figure – we don't know what to do for Halloween because, like, it's the COVID situation, but then we just saw, like, parents having – Halloween party, so I don't know if we're just gonna lay a tray out or something. Anyway, yeah.
Jay, did you buy your costume?
Did I draw it?
You just need the wig because you have a skin. I gotta go pick it up today. Yeah, just go get the wig.
Okay.
Yeah, you haven't heard what we're doing, have you, Roka?
No, what are you guys up to?
We'll tell you off air.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's see. What else happened? Oh, yeah, Josh Allen threw for 307 yards to lead the Bills to an 18 to win over the Jets, but that 18-10, but that was a little bit closer than it should have been. And as we mentioned earlier, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert threw for 347 yards and three touchdowns in a win over the Jaguars, 39-29. And then Matt Stafford threw a last-minute touchdown to further the pain for the Falcons fans this year to beat them 23-22 and essentially extend Matt Patricia's stay as the coach of the Lions for another week. Yeah.
That is literally all of this is, because the moment the Lions lose, Matt Patricia is gone.
Yeah, right, right. And they're not that far away. They're not that far away from losing a few more games and then they're done. You know, every once in a while the Lions get that spurt and they win a few games back to back, but then eventually, boom, they come right back down to earth. And certainly that's probably coming as people figure them out a little more easily as the season goes along. All right, but I think what was the other game that I wanted to talk about here? Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Cam Newton. Is this done? Is this really just the COVID thing, or is he just like have the offenses or the defense rather the defense coordinators of these teams kind of seen some of the offense around Cam and they've game planned around Cam to knock him down? Is it really the COVID situation, or have they just figured out Cam's desire to play quarterback in this way and figured out the Patriots offense better?
I think it's a mix of figuring out the Patriots. Because, like, I think what we're further realizing is it's not to say that Bill Belichick doesn't go out and make greatness happen.
Yeah. But
I think as you're seeing further proof, because remember Jay kept wanting to say Tom Brady's fucking done.
Yeah.
We're seeing how great Tom Brady really is. And it's not to say that Bill Belichick isn't still great as a coach.
Right.
But he had a fucking – he literally was Phil Jackson with Michael Jordan. He was Phil Jackson with Kobe Bryant. Like,
right.
Starting to see that. It's not to say that Cam doesn't still have the sauce, but Cam will never be Brady. Let's be real.
Yeah. You know, everyone said, oh, he could do it with Matt Castle. He could do blah, blah, blah. But are we finding out here, Jay, that this is a bridge too far for both of these gentlemen here in this situation?
No quarterback, no matter who it is going to be Tom Brady.
Okay.
No quarterback, no matter who they bring in, will fill in the role that Brady left. So you have to deal with it no matter what. And so you're going to have growing pains with no matter who you bring in. If it's Newton, if you get another quarterback, if you draft somebody, it is what it is. And Boston and Patriots fans are unfortunately just going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I think we've hit that wall where they've figured out Cam. And at the beginning, it was nice. He could throw the ball quickly. He was he was running the offense, and they were getting those victories. But the constant running, the constant default, and the fact that Cam has that propensity to try to do too much, and he even said it himself. He's embarrassed about how much he pushed himself. These are always the downfalls with Cam Newton. He believes he can throw that ball into the pin needle spacer opening, and he gets screwed over more often than not. And I think it's coming very clear that he is not going to be able to get this thing done there in New England. And I don't know if Jarrett Stidham is the answer or any of these other players are the answer, to tell you the quarterbacks are the answer, because he beat them out in camp. If he beat them out in camp, that means these guys aren't as good as he was. So and they made him captain. That's another part of this. They made Cam Newton captain. So he's got to bounce back from this pretty strongly.
Yeah. I mean, I think he can potentially. The question is are you going to give him that opportunity to do so?
Yeah, right.
Somebody made a good point. If you have your outlaw vendetta mask, bro, you should just throw it on and make this episode. Like, fuck it.
Go ahead and do it.
I don't want to imitate you guys. You guys are killing me.
Come on, man. We die together. Game time for life.
All right. Hold on a second. All right, you guys talk to the people. So that's right. We thick for life. That's true.
Yeah.
All right, you guys talk to me. I'll be right back.
I got it. I can talk to the people. I mean, look, Jay, what did you think, though, about the fact that the Falcons have taken on permanently the identity of the 28-3 team that lost the Super Bowl?
Well, that is that's a very sad identity, and it's actually true. They're sticking with it.
Like for good. That's just who they are.
This is the team we are. And Matt Ryan has to go somewhere else now. You gotta separate.
Oh shit. Depending on what Dak does, what if his ass comes to Dallas though?
That can be a great decision for the Cowboys. I'll be very honest.
I gotta root for fucking Matt Ryan. Ugh, I don't wanna do that. That'd be terrible.
You gotta succumb to this peer pressure.
You see Zenoir talking about demote the Falcons to the XFL?
I mean,
get him.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we're back.
There it is.
We're back together here. Masking it up for the last 22 minutes of the show. Mike Buxo says, just want to show support for the show. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. What were you guys talking about with the Falcons?
We were just saying that, like, this is their permanent identity now is the 28-3 Falcons. That's forever who they are, and they've proven it time and again this season. Yeah. Like, it's sad because it was years ago. But, like, I'm sorry, King One Kid, but, like, am I wrong? Like, tell me where the Falcons have shown some glimmer of hope that we're just being too hard on them, honestly. And I just took a screenshot of this for show. I did too. Yeah.
I think we all did it real quick.
Oh, man, madness. All right, well, the Dodgers are one win away. Let's move on to the MLB. The Dodgers are one win away from the World Series. Thanks to Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw, of all people who has been, they've hung the choking dog moniker around Clayton Kershaw's neck for a number of years now in the playoffs for the Dodgers. My point of view of this has always been that Clayton's been undone by some of the offense around him, letting him down even when he pitches a fantastic game or when the other pitchers come in and kind of blow it for Clayton. It hasn't always been Clayton's issue or Clayton's the reason that they've lost. But Clayton showed up here, only 2 runs over 5 2/3 inning. Then the bullpens came in and kind of saved the Dodgers here, 4-2, especially after that insane way that they lost to the Rays the game before with that messed up double error, run at the end of the bottom of the ninth there. They got them to lose. So here we are. They're one win away. They play tomorrow. Do you think they get it done once and for all? Do you think the Tampa Bay Rays, celebrating the way they won that game a couple of games ago, kind of lit a fire under the Dodgers' ass, and they're going to go take care of business here on tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Here's the honest to God truth. Because did you bring up the blown game four yet?
Yeah, yeah. I just said, yeah, like the way they lost at the bottom of the ninth. Like, yeah, those two. It'll errors. Be super,
like I keep joking with my homie who's a massive Dodger fan. I'm like, look, man, y'all look like you look like my Rangers did at the, you know, the turn of the last decade. Like that's the thing. You have to get this is your chance. You have to get over this monkey. And you have to hope that the Rays don't rally right now and don't come back and like finish this off, because that was a great way to end that game. You needed that for your confidence. You needed Kershaw to go off. Yeah. Kershaw's probably done unless they go to a game seven, realistically.
Yeah, he might come in relief, possibly.
Right. He's not going to start again unless it's game seven, potentially. Right. So I think if the Dodgers are going to win the World Series, they have to win it this next game. I think if they go to game seven, just with how
oh, shit,
see, you know what's funny? I think the pressure of Corey, like I wish Corey would continue to donate. I appreciate it, but I think happy to do that with his money on the line.
Yeah.
Like, he took his jokes out. This way he just focused on his joke and he fucking killed it. That was a great joke. Last time is my favorite sports show. There you go. There you go. I think if the Dodgers are gonna win it, they gotta close it out. If they go to game seven, I think it'll fuck with their head too much. But I don't think someone said that there's gonna be an LA riot if the Dodgers win. I don't think so, because look, the Lakers just won, and the city was calm enough. I mean, we went out that first night, and then the cops wanted to wild on people. You might get some of that for the Dodgers, but they'll hold off. And then I think what'll happen, which would be super fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I think you might get a dual parade of the Dodgers and the Lakers at the same fucking time, and the entirety of the city comes out. That would be fucking wild.
I think it's going to be a little bit more of what happens if the Dodgers win, because if you've never seen Dodgers fans on the precipice of winning, like they are right there. They are ready to just go crazy. Yeah. And so COVID or anything else won't stop them. Yeah, the police will shut it down eventually. But right by Elysian Park where the stadium is, it's going to be bananas.
Yeah, it's been 32 years since they won a title, Jay. They last won it in 1988.
That's what I'm saying. They've been longer for a Dodgers championship than a Lakers championship. Is like, all right, we're used to this. Let's keep bringing it back. The Dodgers, 30-plus years? No, you're going to go crazy.
Right. That's fair. It might happen.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I think you might get similar to what happened the night the Lakers won, where they'll be around Dodger Stadium, and you probably have cops shooting tear gas again because they're assholes. I also understand it's like you're trying to stop a super spreader event. But I think once you get past that night, I think you then end up in a situation where, again, the city holds off. It's super excited. And then the minute we can have a massive gathering, my God, that Laker-Dodger parade.
Oh, yeah.
It could be like a Laker parade on Saturday, Dodger parade on Sunday, and then it's just a weekend of L.A. just being a shit show.
Agreed. Elijah York says, as a Giants fan, I felt the Cowboys were better off hiring Joe Clark from Lean On Me than McCarthy. They lack toughness.
Wow. That's you're not wrong, but damn.
Kind of an aggressive ass.
I mean,
Anyway, all right. One last story, then we'll get out of here. And that is Stan Van Gundy has been named the coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. Do you guys think this is a really good choice?
Bullshit.
Yeah. Talk to me.
Stan Van Gundy, and look, Jeff and Mark are sitting there available waiting to get gigs.
Yeah.
You give it to Stan? Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson should have gotten that job, plain and simple. Because Jeff Van Gundy said wherever he was going, he was taking Mark Jackson with him.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have gone and gotten the New Orleans job. That's trash.
Yeah. I think so, too. I think, you know, Stan Van Gundy, I don't think he's the guy you bring in to coach up your young players like Zion and these other guys that are going to be part of the Pelicans going forward. I don't think Stan Van Gundy is the choice. I mean, he tried to do that in Detroit, and it was just an absolute train wreck. So he's better as a guy sitting on the sidelines doing color commentary during lower-level playoff games or lower-level regular season games. He is not the guy you need to be to have you as a coach of the team. He's a retread at this point. Yes, he's smart about basketball. He's got a good mind, but he can't reach the players like he used to be able to reach the players. I think Jeff Van Gundy, I agree with you, Jeff. I think Jeff Van Gundy was the better choice, the more interesting choice. He's shown he's got a great track record of getting through consistently to younger players on different teams to get the best out of them. So Jeff would have been an interesting choice and a smarter choice. Stan is just, I don't know, this is a waste of time. And there, don't tell me there wasn't some young assistant that they could have interviewed that could have really come in and revolutionized things there and brought a better understanding of the modern game than what Stan Van Gundy has and an ability to speak to those players. That's just my opinion. What do you think there, Winston?
Yeah, I mean, why didn't you go get Mark? You know, Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, yeah.
I thought Mark Jackson would, like, consider what he did. You don't get a Warriors that Steve Kerr gets all those titles if Mark Jackson is the foundation.
Right, true.
You're kind of in rebuild mode with New Orleans. You have some young pieces that didn't work necessarily well under, like, shitty coaching. So get Mark, who did a good job with young teams, bring in some more pieces, and then, like, build them up. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, I don't know.
Yeah, agreed. We'll see going forward, and – you know, I got to take this off. One of the last things they're talking about is a NBA season that will start before Christmas. So do you guys like this idea of an NBA season starting before Christmas and then cutting down some of the regular season so they get people in here? What do you guys think about that?
Well, we talked about it before. How they probably wouldn't allow it because of the normal 2 to 3 months that the players have off after the finals. Now, if you're a team that doesn't go to the playoffs, shit, you've been on break for a while.
Yeah,
but
true.
Again, they're trying to get back to the business of it. And the biggest question, though, fuck this.
I know it hurts after a while, bro.
The biggest question is going to be, how does this season go?
Yeah.
Because if just back before Christmas, by all accounts, let's just keep it real. Yeah. Shit's going to be open because it is cold and flu season more than anything else. So how? We talked about a bubble when it was only 16 teams or something like that playing down, and it was easy to house that. How do you potentially do a bubble with 32 teams? And if I'm not mistaken, I think the World of Sports has, what, two courts or one?
One.
It has one court.
Yeah.
One court. Like, how do you do that? Yeah. How do you make that happen? So this is just kind of it's interesting because, again, for the players to be willing to sign off on that and the NBAPA to be like, all right, cool, you just got to reduce it so we can get back to work. Right. But again, what is work going to be?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair point. And I think they're still figuring it out. Also, you got to work through the fact that you've got these sponsors, you've got these arenas that are rented. You've got all this stuff going on. Are you going to bring people back to work the concession stands? There's so many of these cities that depend on that revenue for those these people coming in to patronize these games and watch these games. Maybe you want to recoup that revenue sooner rather than later, so you get it going because in this calendar year rather than waiting until January of next year, which is what the other rumored start date was going to be. Yeah.
One more quick thing.
Yeah.
The only stadium that I know of right now that is actively being used, that is actively generating revenue, is the Amway Center.
The Amway Center? Okay.
Yeah. Because the WWE's Thunderdome is the Amway Center. They have a permanent residency there. As long as there isn't any, as long as the virus is going on, they have a permanent residency with the Amway Center. So for Orlando, when it comes to that one, they're getting that revenue. They making their money from the WWE. Right. But somebody said in the comments, you make 3-4 bubbles. Again, the problem, the way the schedules are aligned, that kind of gets weird because, again, everybody's not going to be stuck in their bubble. Yeah. And I don't think they've logistically figured out the schedule to where it's potentially 3-4 bubbles and all those teams only play within those bubbles.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Because granted, every team sometimes doesn't play every team in the league. Yeah. But the logistics of this now, we all said it was difficult for when it came to the playoffs, but the way they broke it down, the logistics became easier.
Yeah.
But the logistics for a full NBA season to start are going to be wild.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I agree. And that'll probably be the most interesting thing to see is the players are willing to sign on for that for a couple of months, but a full 3/4 of a year. Like, mm-hmm. I doubt it, honestly.
Yeah, we shall see. Everything up in the air right now with COVID and what have you. So it'll start falling. We'll start getting better. I'm sorry, we're still getting more clear news, more concrete news as this goes along, as we go into the sports world. All right, that's the end, I think. I think we should wrap it up here. Thank you all so much for watching this episode, this live episode of Game Time. It was a blast hanging out with you all. It was a blast having a little fun with you all as well. Thank you for your Streamlabs and your Super Chats. Really appreciate that, supporting the show, helping us out here. Let's talk to these two gentlemen and see whether you can find them and all the stuff that they're doing. Winston A., please.
See you right there at the Swag You Blurred, where you can find me next in about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
The Inner Geekdom Show over on the Smodown Entertainment Network. I have the Smodown legend, Rachel the Crusher Cushing. She's coming through to talk Lord of the Rings. We're going to be talking about Samwise and Frodo and who was the true ring bearer and what was their relationship really? Because there are some questions. We got questions. And then Rachel is the queen of Lord of the Rings, so she will break it down for us. Indeed, obviously, Jay will talk about it. If you missed Blurreds After Dark, you done messed up, man. We had a good time last night. We're going to do that once a month, the last Sunday of every month. But Blurreds in the Hood, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be there tomorrow. Got plenty of stuff to talk about, especially with 1 week before the election's over. Good God. And then other than that, man, I mean, you got just Swag Day, Fun Day. You got Swag Back Thursday. Lots of good stuff there. Cool. So come through, hang out with me. This Thursday, you should maybe check out the season premiere of Superstore. You might recognize somebody.
Oh, nice. All right. Nice little hint there. Yeah. All right, Jay Washington, what do you got, brother?
I mean, I got – me about to go to Enterprise and rent a car for 2 days just so I can be able to get out the house. Doing that Tuesday, Thursday, he already said it, Blurreds in the Hood for sure. Yeah. Check out that. Please, if you have not subscribed to the Blurreds channel, please just go ahead and subscribe. You ain't got to – look, I know some people are like, yo, I don't have time to watch it, blah, blah, blah. Just click on the subscription button. We are doing a drive to 5. We're trying to get 5,000 subscribers on that channel. So please help us with that. Y'all already know me. I'm below all those places, Twitter, Instagram, everything. The Mad Titan Podcast, I'm about to record episode 77. Pretty soon, because I got a lot of stuff to talk about, especially with the Snyder Cut. But I got to stuff to talk about that. The brand new Snyder movie, because it's not a cut. There's a big difference. That, and then, so I'll have something going on. I just don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Follow him to all his social media. Find out all the stuff he's got going on when it pops up and when it goes down for him. Certainly a lot of fun. How did that rewatch go? Or did you guys do that already? The Weakest Link get together? Did you have that already with all the different people?
That's supposed to happen this week, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Watch out for that, everybody.
So, Final Cut. Thank you for reminding me because I didn't put it on my calendar.
Yeah.
So Final Cut this Thursday. They're bringing myself, Mateen Stewart, and Rihanna Cruz. We all were contestants on The Weakest Link.
And my homegirl, Megan, who won. She won her episode 5.
I'm sorry because you made the show. And my homie who won, okay? I didn't know. Jesus, and my homie who won, you know, unlike your ass, because you broke. Yeah, we're doing basically a small version of it, a play along version with it this Thursday with Final Cut. So please stay tuned to that.
There you go. All right. Give us a final like here if you haven't liked the video yet. I think we're just about to cross 150 likes. So thank you all so much. 153. Nice. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here. Thanks for all the Schmobots. I'm sorry, the Streamlabs Super Chats, not the Schmobots. We haven't put those up yet. But thank you all so much. You can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. And please remember to subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed before. I would appreciate that. Also, share this video on your social media. We had a lot of great laughs here today on this episode. So please share this on your social media and like it as well. And leave a comment down below if you're watching after we've recorded it live. More comments, more likes you leave, elevates the visibility of the show and puts it there to suggest other people to watch if they're watching sports content. Also, tomorrow night, just wanted one quick plug. Tomorrow night on the Outlaw Nation show, I have John Kaiser joining me and He's going to bring along this man right there, Kevin Smets. He's going to hang out with me a little bit. And Kaiser going to stop in for just a little bit to talk to us about what's going on in his life and the conditions that he's in and how all the treatment is going and where he's at right now. So we're going to spend a little time with him. But Kaiser is my main guest. Smets is going to stop in for a little bit to have a fun conversation with us. You know, the last time the three of us got together, that show went 4 hours. So strap in for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. So don't forget about that tomorrow night, 6 p.m. PT here on the Outlaw Nation channel. All right, that's it from us. Dale, take care. Oh, okay.
I made it through the whole show.
Yeah, you did. The internet works. The internet works, Jay.
Fantastic. It's the router. It's the new router. I made it through the whole show.
That's awesome, dude. There you go. Power is important. All right, thanks all. We'll talk to you next time here on another live episode of Game Time next Monday. Take care of yourselves. Wear a mask, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.